Amen. All right, church, if you have a Bible, I want you to go ahead and grab that and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. We'll be in chapter 5 here this morning, and so I'm thrilled to talk to you about what God has for us in this particular text. If you do not have a Bible or own one, there should be a hardback black one somewhere in a seat in front of you. If you do not own a Bible, that is yours. Keep that. That is a gift to you. If we have not met yet, my name is Corey Freeman. I have the privilege of serving as an elder here, but then also on staff as one of our pastors. And I am, again, excited to talk to you about 2 Corinthians 5 and what God has in store for us. So as I was studying this passage here this week, it made me think about an old friend that I was on staff at a church with in Dallas, Texas. And this, you know, he's one of those friends that is just so near and dear to my heart. He's one of those friends that you don't have very much in common with. So for him, outside of Jesus, food, and the weight room, and what I don't have in common with him in the weight room is that he was one of those guys who would carry around bags of meat with him to eat. I'm like, dog, like salmonella, brother. Like, that is absolutely disgusting. But outside of that, though, those were the things that we had in common. You know, his testimony is truly one of a kind, and it is a testament to God's good grace on his life. So the way God pursued him was just so beautiful. So Chris Meads, like many of us in this room, grew up in a Christian home, but did not have Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Chris also was a gifted, talented drummer. His feet and ankles able to do things that most humans couldn't even think of. So he was very gifted with the drums, so much so that he was a part of a band that was an up and coming rock band opening up for many talented musicians. But then God had other plans in store for him outside of pursuing a rock career. And so one day when Chris was on his computer, the Lord, through YouTube, used a sermon from John Piper. He told him to click on that. He watched it and radically changed his life to the point to where he wanted to go all in for Jesus. The way that the Lord had impacted him, that made him want to go and impact others with the gospel. Also, it changed the trajectory of his life to where he went to his band and told them that he could no longer participate in this, to where they said nothing to him, got up and left. So not only did he lose his band, but he lost his friends, and he began to pursue what God had in store for him to the point to where he's a pastor now in Coppell, Texas, where he is seeing disciples come to meet Jesus. It was because of God's pursuit of him that led him to give it all up to pursue others. And that's what God calls of his disciples, right? What he does for us, we do for others. So as we look inside this text today, we are going to see how God pursued us. And in light of that, we will see our ministry to pursue others. Now, the goal today is for you to not hear a rah-rah sermon to then go and just give all your effort to only 3 weeks later go back to normal. The goal today is not to give you the three most effective ways to share the gospel. Now, we will hit on some of that, but that's not the goal. The goal today is for us to look at God, to look at his character, to look at all that he's done for us, and just to simply let the Spirit of God work and mold our hearts appropriately for us to take that next step to seeing us become better disciple makers. The glory of God will lead us to that. And so over the last 3 weeks, we've been in this series called Disciple. And so as you guys can see on the screen, right, the first week, Pastor Brock talked to us about what a disciple is, okay, and how we are called to live that out, what we should look like in light of being a disciple. And then the next week, we talked about what disciples do. Right, the actions, the way that we live out this call to be a disciple. And then in week three, Jerome Cologne, Moses Malone Hendon came up and talked to us about how disciples grow in Christ. And then today, we are going to answer the question, how do we make more disciples? And so we're going to look at a few things that address the question, how are more disciples made? And the answer to that, honestly, is that disciples are made as we pursue others the way God has pursued us. Now, there's more in that, but the crux of it is that disciples are made as we pursue others the way God has pursued us. So I would love to just pray for us and invite God into this time and allow for him to minister again. Like, the goal here is to let him speak to us through his word and to let him shape our hearts and to allow for him to guide us. Now, we have to be open to that, church, right? We need to be praying, Spirit of God, to lead me where you want for me to go, not where most comfortable, right? So let's pray and let's ask him to do that for us. Father, first we have to acknowledge your goodness. God, you are so good. Lord, even the last song that we sung proclaims how good and how glorious you are. A million angels fall face down on the floor. Holy is the Lord. Holy God. Lord, we are so thankful for who you are. And we pray, Father, that you would just lead and guide us today. Father, speak to us through your word. Father, may you reveal to us, to our hearts, where we are to go for your glory. And Jesus, may you just be glorified in this text today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's get to 2 Corinthians 5. We'll start in verse 16, 17. If you're unfamiliar to a Bible, we ask that you read along with someone or ask someone. And also, again, we're glad that you are here with us. We really are glad that you're worshiping the Lord with us this morning. But 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So to answer the question, how are more disciples made? The first thing that we see in this text is through having a changed perspective. More disciples are made through us having a changed perspective. So in verse 16, the fourth word that we see there is the word therefore. So that indicates that there's some context that we need to bring to the passage that we see here today. So, and this gives us context of the book of 2 Corinthians that will also highlight verses 11 through 15 for us. But one of the problems that Paul faced in this book is the Corinthian people, they were rejecting him. Why were they rejecting Paul? They disregarded him as a leader. They had little respect for Paul because on the external, he didn't look great. He wasn't eloquent. He didn't speak well. So in their mind, they wanted a Fortune 500 looking leader, but he was more of that nonprofit, charitable type of leader. They saw his occupation, his poverty, his homelessness, his poor public speaking skills, his persecution and suffering as negatives, as opposed to seeing that as him being faithful to Jesus, him being sold out for Jesus. They wanted their leader, again, to look good externally, but they didn't really care about what was going on in the heart. Wealth and eloquence needed to stand out. And so Paul says, following them for such reasons is betrayal because it showed distorted values. Right? Jesus was externally homeless, right? He wasn't concerned about the way that he looked. He was concerned about the heart and the hearts of others. He served. He didn't look to be served. And so Paul is advocating that Christian leadership is not displaying ourselves as successful, but displaying Jesus as successful. So even you think about Paul's initial call to ministry, right, where Ananias received word to go and tell Paul how much he must suffer for Jesus. You even think about in Acts, I think it's chapter 5, love this verse, but where the Pharisees and all the religious leaders, they looked at the disciples and they said, these are uneducated common men. But what did they notice, church? They noticed that they had been with Jesus. And so Paul is saying nothing else matters outside of the internal, outside of us being with Christ, not the way that we look, not the way that we come off, not the way that we perceive ourselves, but only Jesus. And so, continuing in verse 16, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. So again, Paul was addressing those who valued people in light of their physical state, those who viewed what people did and how people looked as all that mattered. And also Paul talks about we once regarded Christ according to the flesh because Paul did this. Paul was a top dog Pharisee, right? He was a well-known Pharisee. So he saw Jesus not as the Messiah, but as a false Messiah. He saw Jesus' death as a curse from God instead of it being the redemption of our sins. And so he understands this. He can empathize with this reality. And so Paul is advocating, do not regard people according to the flesh. So what can we learn from this? Simple. We regard no one according to the flesh. When we look at people, we should not assume their eternal state based off of the job they work, the car they drive, the house they live in, the way that they speak, the clothes that they wear, or the candidate that they vote for. We should not regard them in light of any of that. We can be guilty of this, and I know that I am. I know that we can be guilty to think that the people who live in the trailer parks of Greenwood Station really need the gospel, but the people in Center Grove, they don't. When we don't know what's going on inside those homes, inside of the heart, and I could tell you, man, like there's a lot of jacked up things going on everywhere, but even in those homes that we think are just perfect. When some of the godliest people that I know live in the slums of India, who have dog poop and cow poop all around their home, and they drive a dusty moped because they can't afford a Tesla, and God is using them just as much for his glory than anyone else across the globe. We need to always put on our gospel lenses, right? We need to see them as a soul. That's the perspective change, seeing people as a soul. Our changed perspective will take our eyes off of the external and put them on the eternal. That's what God desires for us. So because as we view them in light of eternity, it will modify the way we interact with the lost, hopefully guiding them to the identity of people that we see in this next verse, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This indicates the goal of where we want to lead people, right? That changed perspective will want us to lead them to being a new creation, right? As we identify with Christ, we are a new creation. And so we want to share the newness that comes with Jesus. It's like that kid on Christmas who has that new annoying toy and he wants to just play that same tone. Oh, it drives me crazy. Man, my son got this dumb Spider-Man for Christmas. I want to just break it and have it. It just sings all day long. But he just wants to, hey, Dad, look. Stop. But anyway. But they want for everyone to experience that new gift. Likewise, with our changed perspective, right? We want for everyone to experience that new gift. How are disciples made? Through having a changed perspective, because that changed perspective will lead to us viewing them as a soul and addressing the soul that is not a new creation with the gospel. And so when I think about a changed perspective, I think about people who do things with inappropriate lenses, right? So a couple days before the holidays, before Christmas, we had the opportunity to hoop with some guys in this church, so play basketball. And so a couple of observations from that day. One of your elders, who was 67 years of age, his name is Jeff West, absolute bucket. By bucket, not chicken, but bucket as in like he can play basketball really, really well. But then also, so we have this guy on our staff, his name is Brett Trammell, and Brett Trammell is a seminary resident for us. And, you know, when Brett plays ball, he's not wearing glasses. And you know, I was watching him the first two or three games. And, like, my man was struggling a little bit. Like, he was playing ball as if he didn't have a quiet time that morning. Like, the man was, like, the shots were off. Balls were literally coming right past his face. And if you called his name, he would look in your direction, kind of. And so, like, after the third game or so, I'd come up to him, like, Brett, dog. Can you see? He was like, no. I'm like, and so he continues playing ball with no lenses on. Now, we can laugh at Brett, and we should laugh at Brett. Brett, get the rec specs, dog. Just get them. But oftentimes, right, oftentimes in our Christian walks, we can do the same thing, right? We can walk around without our gospel lenses on, without a changed perspective, and gospel opportunities are coming right past our face, and we have no idea or the cognizance to see that, man, we need to go and engage them with the gospel the way that God calls us to. You know, and so just the encouragement for us, let's put on those gospel lenses. Let's lean into a changed perspective and pray, God, continuously give us, give me the gospel lenses that I need to the glory of God. So we know a changed perspective is key to disciples being made, because a changed perspective affects the way that we see people's souls. We see them as a soul. But that is not the only thing that we should look at that will affect our actions. So let's read verses 18 through 19 to continue to guide us in light of our actions. Verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the ministry of reconciliation. So how are more disciples made? Second thing, through understanding God's ministry to us and our ministry to others. Because again, our focus for the day is disciples are made as we pursue others the way that God has pursued us. So we have to think about what God did for us and all that he gave for us and how that motivates us to work for the sake of others. So I want to just quickly talk about two things. First one being the work of God, okay? The first thing that we see in light of the work of God is that he reconciled us to himself. Verse 18 tells us that all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. So look at the character of God and what a kind and what a loving God we have. What a sacrificial God we have. Because of sin, there was a chasm put between God and man. But then you have Jesus, who was the sacrifice that needed to be had for us to come back into right standing with God. He lived a perfect life, perfect, no sin ever. Jesus, the man, perfect life. And then they hung him on a cross. He bled like crazy and he died. And his blood being the atonement for our sins, forgiving us for our sins. And then they put him in a tomb. And Jesus, 3 days later, rolled the stone away alive so that we don't have to eternally die, but have life in Jesus. And so there was separation between God and man because of sin, but Christ bridged the gap. He reconciled us to himself. Work of God. Secondly, he entrusted us with important ministry to others. God could have spoken it complete. He could have just saved everyone if he wanted to. God enabled us with and multiplied his efforts of ministry through us. He gave us the tools that we need. He gave us the guidance that we need to make disciples. And so God entrusted us with important ministry to others, the ministry of bridging the gap between the lost and Jesus. Thirdly, he rescued the world from sin. Verse 19, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. God did this for us, absolutely, but God also did this so that the world, you put faith in him, they could come to know him, his love. Man, his character is on display. God's character is on display all throughout this text because he is good. Then the work for us, it's simple. It's easy. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. We see this in both verses 18 and 19. Verse 18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So because of how God pursued us, we pursue others. Verse 19, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. He's given us the message. I challenge us to speak it. The gospel is a message. We need to share it. It's not preach the gospel and sometimes use words. No, it's preach the gospel, use your words. So look at all that God did and look at how that should prompt a response. We can look at how God dealt with us and lived that out with others, and that can motivate us to live that out. How God exposed us to Christ, we expose others to Christ. So how are more disciples made? Through understanding God's ministry to us and our ministry to others. You know, we, as for those of us who are parents in the room, we can look at the way that our parents dealt with us, and it kind of shapes the way that we deal with our kids. If our parents dealt with us in a good way, we have a template to go off of to love our kids well. If our parents dealt with us poorly, typically and hopefully we're taking what they did poorly and we do positive to our children. So even as you think about the toddler tantrums, right? We hopefully deal with that well because our parents dealt well with us. As we deal with the worst thing in parenting, snotty noses. Oh, gross. Like we saw the way our parents dealt with us and we deal with them. When they get to the teenage years, the hormones and the acne, right? We deal with that the way our parents dealt with us, with love and grace. You know, so the way our parents dealt with us, we look to deal with them similar to that. We look at what God did for us, how he reconciled us, so we reconcile others with the same love and grace and mercy in which God did for us. So God has done so much for us. And as we talked about, that should fuel us to get into the same ministry that God was involved in. But it's also important that we don't downplay the role in which he's given us. And so as we continue on, hopefully this will lead us to joy and worship of how much God loves us and how much he has given us. Let's take a look here at verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. How are more disciples made? Third thing, through understanding the importance of our role. Because as we understand the importance of our role, we'll take it a bit more serious and let it define the way in which we are to operate. So when Paul spoke, right, so we talk about this aspect of being ambassadors for Christ. So for Paul, as he says this, when Paul was speaking, he's saying, no, it's actually God speaking through me. I am going on behalf of a higher authority, a higher power. God is speaking. This is our identity. God speaks. We are his ambassadors. Forget all of the other identity talk of our day. Let's make this the centrality of our identity. This is of top importance of identity that you can obtain. An ambassador, right? You think about the definition of that. It'll be on the screen. But it's an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. And so you are an official representative sent by God to a people who is foreign to God. That is an important role, an important identity. So therefore, don't be concerned with being looked at as weird. Don't be concerned with the things that Paul battled. Know where you come from. Have the confidence in who sent you. And know that you're bringing glory to a higher authority. You have an important role to the glory of God. You have an important message to the glory of God. You struggle with value in this room. If you struggle with value, know whose you are. Know where you come from. Your identity is in Jesus, and it is as an ambassador for Christ. If you follow him, you are important, especially in the eyes of the Lord and for the lost soul. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So as an ambassador, right, Paul is imploring people to be fully reconciled to God, to be fully involved with the Lord, not halfway in, not halfway out, not completely out, but be fully devoted and reconciled to God. As ambassadors, guys, we have a responsibility to encourage people, don't play with sin. Don't play with sin. We as ambassadors, we can't play with sin. We need to handle it appropriately. Be fully bought in to Jesus, because what we bring as ambassadors is a peace treaty from God, as God has reconciled us to himself, that peace treaty, right? Bridging the gap between us and, or between them and the Lord. So again, don't be persuaded by the external, right? People's souls are at stake. Us understanding the importance of our role will and can lead people to the thing that they need the most, and that is the gospel. It will also lead to consistency and worship on our part, because I do believe that as you witness, your worship will be further enhanced. You will glorify the Lord because you'll watch him work through you. And so, how are more disciples made? Through understanding the importance of our role. So the importance holds honor because it ultimately leads others to eternal safety. As I think about roles of safety, it makes me think about coming back from Germany in 2021. So there was a small team of us that went to Germany, Pastor Mark and Allie McNeely, who does some work for us at the church. They joined us for this trip. And so I'll make a long story short and just tell you that the travel back was absolutely chaotic. I mean, you think about like soul sanctifying, that was soul sanctifying. I mean, man, so we got to Chicago finally, and we miss our flight, of course, because it's Chicago, it's a terrible airport. For international layover. And so thankfully, Pastor Mark had a status with his previous role that allowed him to get the last minivan. Praise the Lord for his goodness. And so we ended up driving from Chicago back to Indy. And so I understood my role, right, in this whole thing. It's to sit in the front seat and to keep Pastor Mark awake. And so I go down and I was like, hey, dog, I got you. Mark, I got you, brother. So we get in the car. And we began to drive, and somehow, it's just so odd, but I blinked, and when my eyes opened, we were like 90 miles down the road. Dog, and all I could do is turn to Mark and say, dog, I'm so sorry. Mark is over there, hands on the wheel, eyes just wide open, red. But thank God for Allie understanding the importance of her role, because she was just talking to Mark. Now, she does have the gift of gab. We know that, right? but thank God for her, because if not, bro, we would have been in trouble. We could have been in a car accident. Our lives were at stake. And so it was because of her understanding the importance of her role. No one got hurt that night. Guys, understand the importance of our role. We are ambassadors with a very important message that will save people and give them joy in Jesus. And so, looking at our role, we can't forget where that comes from. So as we close out today, let's look at verse 21 and a heart of worship. Verse 21. For our sake, he made him, God made Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So for our sake, so God had us in mind, right? He had us in mind for our sake. He made his son, his only son, to be sin, so that we wouldn't have to. Jesus was on that cross and took the full wrath of God. We're talking about a man who never experienced the guilt of any type of lust, any type of sinful anger. And he took the full weight in that moment of our sin on him on the cross. If you don't believe in Jesus, man, why wouldn't you, man? We have a beautiful Savior who gave it all up for you so that you can be in paradise with him, so that you can dwell with him for eternity. He loves his children. So he hung on that cross for our behalf, made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so my hope for us today is that we leave looking for ways to pursue others the way that God has pursued us. And I feel like it would be amiss for me to not at least give you a starting point as we leave here today of some things that you could potentially get involved in. If you're a newer follower of Jesus, that can maybe help spur on your efforts. And if you've been a believer for several years, to give you some opportunities to maybe help newer believers, just for you to get more involved in. But at our website, on our witness page, there's a QR code on the screen, but we have a witness page where there are several resources and documents there that can give you ideas or give you ways to share Christ or talk to you about things in which you need to maybe think about as you look to share Jesus. But I would encourage you, new believer, older follower of Jesus, to look into this and just look, observe, and discern. And there's also a page on there, too, that'll give you opportunities to just go and find places to go serve in our community. So just that is yours. Go and navigate that and look to serve Christ in some way. I also encourage you to get engaged with the things that our church looks to do here, near, and far. One of the things that we're going to roll out for you, well, I guess we're rolling that out now, but one of the things that we consistently want to do, so we have a serve day always in the summer, and we'll keep doing that. That's a great time for our church, but we also want to find times to link arms with our collective of churches, so Ascend Bible, Doxa Bible, maybe The Rock, but we're going to begin something called Witness Saturdays, and our first one is going to be on March 1st. Now, typically, this will be something where we look to really engage the lost. This first one will link arms with our partners and serve Christian orgs in our community. But I would encourage you to get involved in this. I think our church, I think Liv told me we have 70 or so slots. And we would encourage you just to get involved. So more to come on that and how to register. But join us for that first one. And we'll have more throughout the year. And then also, we're serious about equipping you all to witness in April, and again, more to come on this, but we're going to have a witness equipping for our church body. So we've done these over the years, and we'll have another one in April that's focused on biblical hospitality, okay? Because we do believe that biblical hospitality is meant for the stranger, is meant for the unbeliever, and will help people meet Jesus in a culture where hospitality really isn't a thing, as they experience that from you. It could be a beautiful thing. So more to come on that as well. And then as Liv Hogan said earlier, we'll have our mission trip info meeting. And so for those of you who are serious about sharing the gospel, making disciples, strengthening disciples, or planting churches, I would encourage you to come to this, learn a bit more, and see how you can get involved in our efforts far. Now, the heart of this, okay, the heart of all the things that I just said is not to give you things to do. The last thing that every one of us in this room need is more things to do. But as you explore these things, which I would consider you to pray about, go explore, because the heart of this is to be disciple makers. What we got to understand is that God didn't just call the staff and the elders of this church to do all the work. He calls the body, the people, to make disciples. That's a big reason why we're not really a programmatic church. Because we believe that people have sat in these pews for a long time and have just been bored and consumed. And we don't want that for you. We trust that God has called you to more. We want you to go and serve and share the gospel to the glory of God. So if you're going on a mission trip, the heart is to bring that back home to where you work, live, and play. If you go to a serve day, the goal is to bring that home where you work, live, and play. And so we are called to live sent. We're in this sending base. First to be equipped and then to go. And so may we be the light of the gospel to the glory of God, because disciples are made as we pursue others the way God has pursued us. Father, we thank you again for your word and how it reproves, rebukes, corrects us. God, you are so good to do that for us. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. Father, I pray that you would reveal to us what that next step is. And Lord, may we learn, may we figure out, God, what our role is in this day to see people come to put faith in you. Jesus, again, like souls are at stake here, man. You know, people are on their way to eternal destruction. And Lord, and we hold the message, God, you entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. So God, may we see people to that. So Father, we love you. You are good. In Jesus' name, amen.